Karen, would you do a roll call, please?
Sheldon, Delaney, first ward.
Present.
Ricky Stansbury, second ward.
Present.
Bill Houston, third ward.
Present.
Jeff Leslie, fourth ward.
Present.
We have a quorum, Mr. Mayor.
Okay. Sheldon, would you do the invocation, please?
Dear Heavenly Father, we just come today praising your name, thanking you, Lord, for the gains that this country has made. I just pray that we'll continue to get out of the grips of the virus, so that your will be done with the leaders. And let our people be diligent in the things that they do and say, keep them safe. Lord, we thank you for our community and the opportunity to work as a city, as a council member. Lord, we thank you for Jesus and what he's done for each of us. In his name I pray. Amen.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
This is Mayor Pyle. Could I have an motion for acceptance of the agenda?
Mr. Mayor, Johanna O'Brien, can we add consideration of Bridget Murray application to the agenda?
So it'd be under J.
It was on the back.
There's more on the back?
Yeah.
Okay.
Mr. Chairman, Sheldon Dine, first ward. I move we accept the agenda with the additions that's been stated.
Lucas Stant.
Bill Houston, second.
Sorry.
Sheldon DeLange.
Aye.
Lucas Stansbury.
Aye.
Bill Houston.
Aye.
Jeff Leslie.
Aye.
Motion carries.
Mr. Chairman, Sheldon Delaney, first ward. I move we approve the consent agenda A through H.
Lucas Stansbury, second ward, second.
Sheldon Delaney.
Aye.
Lucas Stansbury.
Aye.
Bill Houston.
Aye.
Jeff Leslie.
Aye.
Motion carries. Okay, this time we'll go on to regular business. Item A, executive session to discuss security measures at golf course as it pertains to clubhouse staff.
Mr. Mayor, Lucas Stansbury, second ward. Mr. Mayor, I move we go into executive session to discuss security measures at the golf course as it pertains to the clubhouse staff. This to include the mayor, the council, the city administrator, the public works director, and the city attorney for a time no longer than 10 minutes.
Jeff Leslie, fourth ward, second.
Okay. Sheldon DeLange.
Aye.
Lucas Stansbury.
Aye.
Bill Houston.
Aye.
Jeff Leslie.
Aye.
Motion carries. Okay, bring the meeting back to order. Okay, moving on to item B. Item B, approval of judge's report for January 2020 for $2,425.
Mr. Chairman, Shelby Lang, First Ward, I approve item B, the judge's report for January 2020 for $2,425.
Lucas Stansbury, Second Ward, second.
Okay. Sheldon DeLange?
Aye.
Lucas Stansbury?
Aye.
Bill Houston?
Aye.
Jeff Leslie?
Aye.
Okay.
Mr. Chairman, Sheldon DeLange, First Ward, I move that we approve the judge's report for February 2020 for $4,445.
Jeff Leslie, second.
Okay. Sheldon DeLange?
Aye.
Lucas Stansbury?
Aye.
Jeff Leslie?
Aye.
Bill Houston?
Aye.
Motion carries.
Mr. Chairman, I move to approve the judge's report for April 2020 for $665.
Second.
Sheldon DeLange?
Aye.
Lucas Stansbury?
Aye.
Bill Houston?
Aye.
Jeff Leslie?
Aye.
Motion carries.
Did we miss D? Mr. Chairman, I move we approve the judge's report for March 2020 of $2,240. Sorry about that.
Jeff Leslie, second.
Sheldon DeLange?
Aye.
Lucas Stansbury?
Yes.
Bill Houston?
Aye.
Jeff Leslie?
Aye.
Motion carries. Okay, moving on to item F, open sealed bid for electric department. That would be this round board. Okay, this bid here is from Alltech. And it's for an Alltech backyard digger derrick. And it lists here on the bid and stuff, unit trailer total, $195,198.
Mr. Mayor, we would like to be able to table a decision on purchasing the electrical bid to the electric department before I show it. Johann O'Brien, is that the only bid for the electric department?
I believe it was. The other two show excavator bids.
Okay, yeah, that's over. We would like to table a decision on purchasing the yard machine until we get the audit back. So we know what we have in our fund balance. It should be seen because we're here.
Okay.
Hopefully.
Mr. Chairman, Sheldon DeLange, First Ward, I move to table the bid on the backyard digger machine until we get a chance to, as the administrator suggested, get a chance to look at the audit.
Was it
Jeff Leslie, second?
Was that the backyard digger or was that the pole?
I
That was a Digger Derrick.
The Digger Derrick,
yeah. Okay. Sheldon DeLange?
Aye.
Luke Stansbury?
Aye.
Bill Houston?
Aye.
Jeff Leslie?
Aye.
Motion carries to table till the audit is done to where we see where we're at. Next, we'll go to item G, open sealed bids for Public Works Department. First one is from Ditch Witch out of Park City, Kansas. Okay, this one here is for a new 2020 model Yanmar VI055 excavator, rubber track. It shows a base price of $70,000. It shows a trade-in of a Case 580 Super L loader backhoe of $12,500. Leaves the remaining amount as $57,500.
Sheldon DeLange, First Ward. Do we have the funds to do this?
We would probably, Johanna O'Brien, we probably want to table this one too. Actually, because we have another bid for this.
Yes.
Okay.
This is from Kubota of Joplin, Missouri. Okay, this is actually Kubota of Anderson Car and Tractor of Joplin. It's a excavator bid. It's a KX057-4R3A. And it shows a base price of $65,800. It shows a trade-in of a 99 Case 580L, allowing $20,000, leaves the remaining balance of $45,800. It also shows some additional equipment, flail-type cutter, 40-inch path, for $5,450, and a mulching head of 62-inch path of
$11,999. Johanna O'Brien, the mayor and council, same thing. We would also like to look at finances and see how we pay for this. As you know, in the water department, we spent a lot of money in the well this year, so it might require a lease purchase, which is another purchase you might want to wait for an audit on, and also give the public works director a chance to review those and the optional equipment. So, do the last one as well, please.
Jeff Leslie, 4th Ward, Mr. Mayor. Based upon the city manager's recommendation, I move we table the bids received for the public works department equipment.
Second. Bill Houston.
I've had a motion and a second. Sheldon DeLange?
Aye.
Lucas Stansbury?
Aye.
Bill Houston?
Aye.
Jeff Leslie?
Aye.
Motion carries to table. Item H, consider budget amendment.
Johanna O'Brien, City Administrator, we've talked about this at several meetings, and we've been trying to pin it off so we were able to open that public forum, but we did the public hearing for the CDBG over the phone, and it was okay, and starting to work on budget, and this will affect the budget for 2021. So if you guys want to go ahead and move forward with this, we can set a public hearing for the next meeting, and Karen will have to get it moving forward. You guys want to go over it again? The quickly, Johanna O'Brien still. For the transportation fund, we needed to increase our spend authority. This is a, we have to do it if we're going to do all of our projects this year. Because the highway project was supposed to be completed, as you know, last year, and it didn't happen. So those expenses didn't come out with our budget authority last year, but it affected our projected fund balance for 2020 for this year. And so now we have all that revenue from last year that we didn't spend. Anyways, we need a higher budget authority to be able to pay all those costs. And Karen and I, the city clerk, have been looking at this, and we paid Bettis today in the consent agenda that there could be a cash flow issue because the CDBG and the KDOT funds are drawdown, so we have to pay first, and then they reimburse us. So we'll have the revenue by the end of the year, but we have to have the funds there before we pay them. Anyways, it's kind of a pay and chase, and it's causing a little bit of issue. We talked to our auditor about it, and he didn't make it in my office today, but he'll come in tomorrow. And I've also called KDOT, and he said they might be able to give us an exception to the pay and chase to draw down. But anyways, that's the transportation one. That one we really need to do. The business development one, we have the revenue in, and I have put the expense in for last year for an appropriation to the land bank, and they ended up not spending any money. So we kind of discussed just them setting up their own account and writing that check so we don't have to do it every year. We don't have to do it every year, but I had to add that back in for this year since it was extended last year. And then the electric, that would be increasing the total expenditures from $4 million to $4.2 million because Cliff had estimated that a yard machine would cost around $200,000 and it came at $195,198, so he was really close. But that will allow for the purchase of that yard machine straight out of his budget. We won't have to debt service it. And the reason I say wait on the audit is because that number at the top there, that unencumbered cash balance as of January 1 for the 2022 budget, that is my forecast, the 1.12.12653. And whenever the audit gets done, they'll confirm that number or they'll change it a little bit. So as long as it's that, we're good just buying that piece of machinery directly out of this budget. But we'll still have to increase our budget authority to be able to get it from 4 million to 4.2.
Jeff Leslie, 4-4. So my understanding, everything is remains pretty much as you previously explained. The funds are available. It's a matter of budget amendments for spend authority
to
reorganization for purposes.
Yes. So like in any fund, well, most of the funds, not all of them, it's kind of confusing. But that number at the bottom, that total expenditures, that gives us our budget authority. And that's what we have the public hearing for, so that the public can come in and say yes or no, or that's too much, or that's not enough, or we don't need to spend that, or whatever. So if we're amending it to increase that spend authority, we have to give the public another opportunity to come in and say yay or nay.
Because Mr. Mayor, Jeff Leslie, 4th Ward, I move, once again, based on City Administrator's recommendation, that we move ahead with concerning the budget amendments for Transportation Authority, Business Development, and increase the Electrical Department, and go ahead and establish a date for a public hearing.
What date would that be?
June 8th.
June 8th.
At 5 p.m.
At 5 o'clock. It'll be the first thing on our agenda for the June 8th meeting.
Seventh line, first word, second the motion.
Okay. We had a motion and a second. Sheldon DeLang?
Aye.
Lucas Stansberry?
Aye.
Bill Houston?
Aye.
Jeff Leslie?
Aye.
Item carries. Okay. Next on the agenda, item I, discuss a potential change to mowing rates.
Johanna O'Brien, this has been an issue that has been discussed between Councilman in the Second Ward and Carrie Ray, our Fire Department Code Enforcement, and Steve Brooks, our Public Works Director, and they wanted to consider raising those rates. And Lucas can talk about why if you want to.
Sure. Yeah. Lucas Stansberry, Second Ward. As we progress and we have more and more, not really work, but just our city guys having to do other things that we need that are more pressing. And also, I don't think we've looked at this ordinance in a while, and we might be behind some of the other county or cities around that are close to us. And also the machinery itself just costs more to repair. And they're not mowing just small, I mean, small yards or short grass. Some of these get pretty high where it requires a bush hog, I believe. And anything in the yard, which is more time if we don't see it or don't have time to address it, can cause failure on machinery. So if the council agrees, I feel like we need to look at this and rewrite the ordinance to increase the rate.
If you guys want me to work on this, I can bring an ordinance to you at the next meeting if you guys
want
to agree.
What is the rate right now?
I think it's 50 per hour, is that right? Is it 100 per hour? Well, Karen Mack, city clerk. It's $100 per hour with a minimum charge of 1 hour. So if it's an hour and 15 minutes, then it's billed out accordingly. That's a minimum of 1 hour.
That's why I said 4-4. I strongly agree with Lucas. I think that they're going to look at it and affair with others and then about this.
Bill Houston, third ward. It's the length of time that we give a resident to clean his property up. Is that set by ordinance? Is it set by the state?
I'm Karen Beck, city clerk. I believe it's set by ordinance, but I'm not talking.
So that ordinance could act. I think, for one thing, by the time we get the city office notified or codes notified, and you give them 10 days or whatever to, you know, to act, then you're talking about a problem. You're talking about knee-high grass. I mean, I don't think we're acting quick enough on some of these properties, you know, and that's just a personal opinion from third ward perspective. I just don't think we're quick enough by the time we get this thing into action.
Is it by statute? Yeah. Johanna O'Brien, if we have the discretion to set that, or like the 10 days?
There's a city ordinance. And so, with all city ordinances, you have to notify. Eight or 10 inches, 8 inches, then the codes enforcement can begin the process. As a practical matter, in a small town like this, typically what happens is you go to the person and you say, mow your grass. I'm going to come back in so many days, and if you don't mow your grass, then we're going to have to talk more serious. You come back, maybe you do that a couple of times. Then they don't mow their grass. Then you issue them a citation, which is a status offense. If it comes to our court, our municipal court, we hear it, and the judge, I prosecute it, and the judge then makes a decision what should happen to the person. Most of the time, if they've mowed their grass, sometimes the judge will make them just pay court costs and don't do it again. If they're defiant, if they can't get any cooperation, the judge can order them to comply. Or if they won't comply, the city staff will mow it, charge them a rate. That will then be passed on to the consumer. If they don't pay it, it gets added to their tax base of their real estate. And so it's their tax bill next year. They continue to do that. Eventually, at some point, they don't pay their taxes, then the county forecloses, and we go that route. So that's an extreme situation. But normally what you try to do is get some kind of a gentle compliance. If that doesn't work, then it's stepped up enforcement. That's typically what it looks like. But yes, we do have an ordinance, and yes, our codes and officer does enforce those things. They're responsible for enforcing those things.
I guess I have another question. Jenny O'Brien, we don't know if the state requires us to give them a minimum of 10 days, though. Do you know?
10 days for what?
10 days notice as far as...
They have, they're required to have some kind of notice. I don't know exactly if it's 10 days, but off the top of my head, but I can tell you they are required to have notice. For example, you couldn't just show up on day one, see the grass is 8 inches, and go, okay, I'm citing you right now.
Okay.
And so they have to have some kind of notice, and that's just a constitutional requirement. And we can look at the ordinance and determine. Mm-hmm. But if our ordinance, and I haven't looked at it in a while, it's, you know, some are longer, some are shorter, typically it's 10 or 15 days. And if they haven't mowed their grass, then you take the enforcement procedure. Yes.
Okay,
there's one thing that I noticed. I believe it's the city of Pittsburgh. At one time, they had in their ordinance, of course, this is pertaining to the railroad properties and industrial or business type properties, that they gave certified notice one time a year.
Yeah.
Once annually, that if it wasn't mowed when it got to a certain level, it would be mowed and it'd be charged against them. And they didn't have to notify them every time that that property
mowed. So, this is our city attorney. Again, I preface my comments in a small town. That's typically what you see. You can do exactly what Pittsburgh does, which they send you a letter. You don't mow it. They go mow it, and you get a printed little thing in the mail called a bill, and you have to pay it, or again, it goes on your taxes. Yeah, you don't have to have contact. You could go straight to that route.
But what I'm saying, I think the way they did it on some of these industrial properties, they did it one time a year.
Right.
Annually and gave them the notice, and that notice went for the full year.
That's correct.
And then if they didn't get it mowed, you go mow it, they get billed
that's
for
correct.
It.
That's correct. And that's how it's enforced. So
because I think I'm not sure what the cost is for those certified letters, but I think it's $7 or something like that. You know, and if you do that once a month, it gets a little pricey by the end of the year.
Let me correct that. You don't have to send them letter after letter after letter. And so when my opening comments were, the idea is we try to get compliance voluntarily, but you could go right to enforcement if you wanted to. And yes, you don't send them a letter each time, you send them one letter and that's it, you're done. We had this come up a couple years ago, you may remember, and that was resolved successfully in the city's favor. So, yeah.
Seabrook City Drive, one of the things that we discussed, Lucas and myself and Terry, we literally have some lots that are large enough that we've had people actually tell us for $100 I can't pay somebody to come mow for that. And so that's a lot of what prompted the discussion that we had. I do think we need to look at the rates and see where we're at with it. I would strongly be in favor of a one-time notice that, you know, this is especially because we have a number of people that are constant every year that we can just about count on we're going to be mowing those places. It would be nice if we had that ability to say, at the first of the spring season, here's where we're at with it. The grass would be allowed to get to this height. And if it gets beyond that, we're going to automatically dispatch and mow. Part of the problem that Councilman Houston alluded to, and he's correct 100%, by the time that we go through the process, and Terry does go through the process, he and I have sat and had a lot of conversations about this, and when you look at the grass sometimes at the height that it is, it looks like maybe he doesn't, get on quick enough. But the thing is, when it comes out at 8 inches tall to begin with, in the 10 to 12, whatever days that it is that they have to respond, well, just like now, I mowed my grass 4 days ago and it doesn't even look like I did. And so it's not an error on code enforcement's part. What it really truly is just the growth rate. So, yeah, I think if you could do something like what you're talking about, like Pittsburgh did, that would give us a little more leverage to keep the grass down tighter. It would also limit the wear and tear on the equipment because a lot of it is it gets 2 feet tall and we can't see what's in the grass sometimes. And you can walk it out all you want to, and you're still going to end up hitting something. We had it just recently happen. So, and it does damage to the equipment every time it happens.
So, you know, Brian, can we set the rate of, like, higher for bigger lot sizes?
Steve Angermeyer, city attorney. We can set a rate. It has to be uniformly applied across the board. We can't discriminate based on
lot size?
Yeah. It's an hourly rate is what it is. Mm-hmm. And so a larger lot is going to be proportionally more because it takes longer time to mow. If it's a taller lot and you have to go back and forth to get it mowed, that'll take more time. And again, they'll pay. So the idea is you charge one rate, and if it's larger, they'll pay more because there's more ground to cover. Or if it's taller, it'll take longer, and again, there'll be more ground to cover.
Okay. I'll look at all that. I don't think we need a motion or anything. It sounds like you're all in agreement. And I'll see if I can find that Pittsburgh one. That sounds like it'd be a lot easier.
Yeah, and I believe that one was, at one time, was designated for industrial-type properties, but I think we can probably, if we get it to where we can do, say, an annual notice to them. Once they were given notice, they're aware of the height of the grass or the height that it gets. If it gets above that, I can't see to where we should have to spend for a personal service letter to them every time.
Our statute doesn't require that.
Okay.
Luke Stansbury, second ward. Steve, does that also, is that uniform across everyone, or is it different for like residential / commercial / agriculture?
We got one ordinance.
So that'd be for each? Okay.
Sheldon Lang, first ward.
if you charge $150 an hour, to run, like you said, it'd be based on the hour, so it doesn't make any difference what business it is, they would be charged by the hour. So I think our administrator ought to come up with the ordinance that we can look at with Lucas and Steve, see what we can do.
Okay. Moving on to item J. Discuss organization of public works department.
Jimmy O'Brien, there's an organizational chart in your Dropbox. Do you see that?
Mm-hmm.
Steve and I have talked a lot about this as far as succession planning and just delegation, because as you know, the department has grown. So we already have a street foreman and a cemetery golf course section, that's Jody. And we're hoping to add another position to that, which would be the water wastewater foreman. And I just named second name there, things which we learned that. But anyways, and that person would be over all water wastewater operations as a foreman. And I don't think we need a motion on it right now. We just wanted to share that with you to kind of show you the way we were hoping to go in the public works department and to get any feedback from you guys that you might have. And Steve, do you have anything you want to discuss about it?
I don't want to say any questions.
Okay.
Luke Stansbury, second ward. I thought it was, I like the idea. The only question I have, Steve, and we can start with you first. Are you going to, so right now, like, for example, like the wastewater foreman, do they have a job description or is it just one of the public works?
That will be submitted to you guys at a later date. We're going to work on that as well. The pay structure, pay scale, and the job description. But we're thinking so far for water and wastewater foreman would be that they would have to have the class, through your class 2 license to even be eligible for it, and then a certain amount of experience working here.
Okay.
Or working in water and wastewater.
Lucas Stansbury, second ward. Yeah, because that was my only concern is each time we have a reorganization, if we have a very set goal in mind and also not really requirements, but expectations for the individual. Because I know that, especially with water and wastewater, those certifications are important. And we invest a lot of time into individuals to try to get them. So I would like to have it where the individual is rewarded for taking that time and doing everything to get it.
Jeff Lux, the fourth ward, I think the point of the job descriptions is really important too. We just went through this about a month ago, this notification of individuals when the plant's down, this, that, and other, and have it established in the job description for which you plan to do.
Johanna Ryan, that would be a very good job duty to put in the job description for the water, wastewater. And the other thing we were thinking about is that Lucas is kind of showing us how to do Microsoft Teams so we could do the work orders and things. So we're thinking having this kind of organization. And Jeff McDonald just got a very good deal with cell phones through AT&T because they have a deal they do with the government. And so that each foreman and each department director could have one of those phones, and then they would have constant access to their work orders and their due dates and could check mark them off as they get them completed. And that's kind of our plan. We're still playing around with Microsoft Teams and we're learning. And that's kind of this is what we're trying to move toward.
Jeff,
so probably at the next meeting or the next one, maybe the next one, I have a lot for the next one already. We'll have a job description for you guys that could include all that. We could discuss it. If you guys, there's anything else you think of, put in it.
Jeff, let's go forward. Then eventually, when you build it up, whenever they would all flow then to you, the department.
Close up to Steve, and then I would be able to see. There's another org chart. You probably haven't seen it because you're new, but there's another org chart that has Gerard Citizens and then you guys, the city council, and then me, and then department directors, and then everybody. So we have that too. So this is a branch off of that big one for the public works department.
Thank you. Steve Brooks, Public Works. Basically, what we're after and what we're looking for is the department has become very diverse. We've taken on a lot of new roles that we didn't have when Public Works was Public Works a year ago, even. So basically what I'm doing is I've got particular individuals in particular positions already, and then have been grooming some other individuals for this position. And so what we're looking for is trying to structure the department correctly so that at the end of the day, I know that each of the departments is covered, and that the work orders are being handed out by one individual, and I can get more work accomplished by having those departments split. And that's the reason we did this in the first place. It's been working really well. I've got one individual that's already been kind of acting in that role for me and been doing a fine job with it. So that's the reason we kind of sampled the waters a little bit. It's working, and we want to try to finalize it.
Johanna O'Brien, and one of the things when you guys first hired me that we talked about was doing the evals and updating personnel policies, and we didn't even have all the job descriptions and job categories and pay ranges and all that stuff. But one thing we found is that when we do have these positions and it's organized like this, like before it was just like eight crew members, now they all kind of have things that they can be motivated to be promoted to someday, and they work hard to do that. And I feel like you guys instituting all of that has been good all around with the eval system and the job descriptions and the organization. So anyways, this is what we're looking at in public work. If you guys all think it looks good, we're going to keep moving in that direction, and we'll bring some more stuff to you.
Sheldon Dying, First Ward, sounds to me like we're on the right direction. I'd like to encourage you guys to keep going. Thanks.
Jeff Busted, Fourth Ward. I really particularly appreciate that tracking the work orders and having that in there. So, you know, we've discussed several times follow-up and communication. I think that will have a tremendous benefit, too. So, thank you.
And I also think that will help during eval season, too, because you'll be able to go back and look and see how many of their work orders they completed on time and things like that. We just keep building on it every year, I feel like.
Okay, moving on to item K, discuss closures amid coronavirus.
Johanna O'Brien, we still have City Hall closed off to the public, and we're social distancing, and we're still just using the drive through and what's our limit now? Is it 30? Did we go up to 30 people yet?
No, 15.
The 15th?
Can I add something here? This is Steve Angermeyer, City Attorney. I didn't see this. This just came down from the league at 4:35 today. I'll just read it verbatim.
Okay.
Today, the governor announced that she was vetoing House Bill 20054. This was the COVID bill. It did a lot of things, but the most important thing it did was provide a mechanism for the emergency proclamation to be extended. With the veto, the current emergency proclamation ends at midnight tonight. The governor announced that she will be issuing a third proclamation. Under the new proclamation, the Ad Astra plan is now merely guidance. All restrictions and mitigation efforts for COVID-19 will rest with the county. The county has until midnight to issue orders. If the county chooses to do nothing, as of midnight, there are no rules governing mass gatherings, businesses, etc. She will also be issuing a new executive orders dealing with economic recovery. We have no idea when those will be announced or what they will say. The governor has also called a special legislative session starting June 3rd to look at the Emergency Management Act. Stay tuned. I have no idea how to even describe this very strange world that keeps getting stranger. Sincerely, Amanda Stanley, General Counsel,
Municipality. Johanna O'Brien, do we need to wait and see what the county does then and maybe have a special meeting if something major changes?
I would think so. I can also state that this is Steve Angermeyer, City Attorney. Several things. I just saw this 5 minutes ago, and we just started our meeting 50 minutes ago, so it came in right before our meeting started today. I'm kind of shocked to see that's where we're at, but that's the state of things. So as of midnight, if the county doesn't issue anything, we're back to before COVID-19.
Jeff Wesley, Fourth Ward, this I assume is as a result of litigation.
Yeah.
They filed against the government.
The Steve Angermeyer, City Attorney, the impasse between the legislators and the governor. And I can also tell you that I assume something else is going to happen. This is going to be a minute by minute, hour by hour thing. Under our home rule powers, we have the ability to protect ourselves. If the county and the state do nothing, under our home rule powers, we can do common sense things to protect ourselves. I'm recommending we continue with our plan and take a little bit of a wait-and-see approach, frankly.
Jeff Blossley, Fourth Ward. The county has rules in place currently anyway, right, that were being superseded by the state's more stringent rules?
Well, Steve Angermeyer, city attorney, the county actually, the answer is yes and no. They did issue some further restrictions. They fine-tuned what the governor had, essentially the same thing, but there was a little fine-tuning in a few areas where it was a little more restrictive. However, according to what I'm reading here, and I just read, and I haven't even had a chance, as I was looking at something else for Mr. Brooks, I happened to see that, so I haven't had a chance to wrap my head around this thing yet. And I'm sure the league is getting flooded with information, like, what are we going to do? Because there's more than 600 cities and 105 counties, and so you can imagine what that looks like right now. They are having a meeting. They did not have a league meeting today. They're going to have one Thursday. I saw that. So we probably will want to tune into that to see exactly where we're going to go for that. That aside, according to what she's saying, if the county doesn't do anything, if it hasn't issued an order, then there's no order. If the county has issued an order, which I believe they have, then we're bound by the county order. And also under, again, just to reemphasize, also under home rule powers, we can obviously take common sense approach to protect ourselves, keep our courts protected, keep our city hall protected, keep our staff protected, and those kinds of things that we've done so far.
Jeff Leslie, 4-4, could we or should we consider then adopting the governor's recommendations as our home rule determination interim basis until the situation is clarified?
Yeah, Steve Angermeyer, city attorney. I think we certainly need to take a look at those. I don't know what they're going to be, and I haven't seen them yet. She says she's going to be issuing a third proclamation. Typically, what we'll see with this administration is they come out with some FAQs and a press conference, then they issue the order. And so that's been their standard fare. I don't know what, again, this just came out at 4:35 this afternoon. So that was just a little over an hour and a half ago.
We don't have much time to do anything.
We really don't. And so my recommendation is we stick with what we believe is the county order in lockstep with that. We stick with what we've been doing so far, and then by Thursday, hopefully, we'll have a little more guidance, and then if we need to, we can call a special meeting if we need to make some adjustments. I'm suggesting we probably won't. We were just talking before the meeting about some of the PPE gear that we were hoping to get in that hasn't arrived yet, and so I'm still concerned for our staff and protecting our staff, and some of those folks may have special protections they need because of possible compromised immunity. So I just don't want to expose anybody to anything that we unnecessarily need to do.
Lucas Stansbury, second ward. The county website does have a self-quarantine for Kansans who traveled to Lake of the Ozarks, and that was today. So it looks like they're still actively, concerned with what's, or at least individuals that might have it are asymptomatic. I feel like our plan so far has been cautious. I think that I personally feel like that's the best way to go about. I know that we still have to get work done. I know that the departments need to be able to do their job, and social distancing is never a bad idea. So, but the way that we're moving now is trying to look at my calendar, because we meet on the 5th of June, which her original timeline was phase three was the first, wasn't it? Or that was to the governor? So,
Jeff was the 4-4, that's my understanding.
Yeah, I think that's
next phase is June
1st. So we're pretty close, and if we can keep, if the council feels, I know we have to make a decision soon about, but the pool we know for sure is going to be still closed. The parks, we have to decide about the parks, which I know that's going to be, there's been a lot, I've had a lot of people come to me about the parks. They weren't happy with the pool. No one's happy with the pool, but it's all around. So my only concern is, are we going to have to be concerned about cities opening back up after this, after they've already said they're going to stay closed or start changing their golf course? Because we already talked about that. But if other places start to just act like nothing ever happened, then we might.
Steve Angermeyer, city attorney. I don't know. When this thing came out, we were changing literally by the hour.
Mm-hmm.
And now that our legislature has dug in against our governor and vice versa, I think we just take a wait-and-see approach. We continue to do what we've done. We're not outside the bounds of anything if we continue what we've done. And then I think Thursday we'll probably know a lot more.
Shelton Devine, First Ward. I agree with our attorney. I think we're on the right track, and we've been doing everything. The one thing I'm concerned about is our administrator and Karen having the opportunity to do their work here rather than at home. It would be a lot easier on them. That's the only thing I hope we could free things up.
Jermaine, Ryan, we have been.
You've been?
Yeah.
Okay. But I am in favor of staying like we are to see what happens. Just like this thing in Missouri now. Somebody comes over from here with that thing. We need to wait and see. Be safe than sorry. That's what I'd like to do.
Jermaine O'Brien, so the plan will be that we'll continue as we have been so far, wait for some new guidance. If some wildly different guidance comes out, we'll, Karen and I will discuss it and maybe call a special meeting. If not, we'll just wait until the next meeting. Good?
Agreed.
Steve Ingram, City Attorney, I think that's probably a real sound idea. So let's just plan on keeping it as we have been until the next meeting. If something wild comes out of left field, we'll notify everybody and we'll have a session.
Amen.
Okay, what do we do about businesses? They've had guidance on how they operate and how they do it. Do we still encourage them to do the same or what?
So, Steve Angler, City Attorney, we're not going to give legal advice to businesses at this point. It's the gloves are off and it's like a knife fight. There's no rules. And frankly, I don't know. I don't know.
Okay.
Because I don't think anybody knows. When you've got a legislature and a governor doing what they're doing.
Shelly Devine, First Ward. The last thing we want to do is be liable for something we tell the city business if they can or can't do. We need to wait.
Lucas Stansbury, Second Ward. So, just because Mickey brought that up, do we have a responsibility to, you know, because I know at first when there was the gatherings, when that first came out, a lot of individuals or police force were saying they weren't going to enforce it, they would disperse if possible. But if that does come up or there's something that, I guess, you know, like,
well,
what are our guys?
Steve Angler, City Attorney, so we don't have, as a city, we don't have power over businesses other than their licensing and possibly some zoning issues and some taxation. We can't tell them how to operate. On the other hand, our law enforcement agency can enforce our laws, and if those laws require certain things, they can do that, including the governor's proclamation. And so you were correct in your statement that many of our law enforcement and throughout Kansas have said that they would just encourage, rather than arrest people, and take them to jail for gathering more than 10 people and not observing social distancing. I think that's been fairly uniform throughout the state of Kansas. There may be an exception to it. I'm not, didn't come to the top of my head. With that said, I don't think we can tell a business what they can and cannot do. I'm not sure we have authority to do that, other than those things I mentioned, to give the plenary power that we have as a city and the regulatory power we have as a city. As far as telling our officers to arrest people, there's no order, so I don't think they're going to have authority to do anything, frankly. If there's something that goes on and perhaps it's a violation of a disorderly conduct or something along those lines, that's one thing. But I don't see our police force running out and with tape measures and checking to see if people are exactly 6 feet apart. I just don't see that occurring. And I frankly don't think they have authority to do that after midnight. Except if our county order pertains. And then probably what they'll do is what they continue to do is encourage people to observe the appropriate social distancing until we have a little more guidance and this thing kind of blows over, we have a vaccine or something like that.
Sure. Lucas Stansbury, Second Ward. I guess my concern was someone does an impromptu concert at the fairgrounds this weekend because they want to celebrate that being gone. What would we have to just stand back and, you know, I know we shouldn't worry about stuff that hasn't happened, but I'm just trying to know for my knowledge what this means, because it sounds like what you're saying is at midnight, like, everything goes away unless the county does something. If they say no, then we're just back to normal tomorrow, which is so odd because we built up to this for months, and now it's like we're boom.
Steve Angler, City Attorney, before we did something drastic, this just happened. I would say watch tomorrow and the next day, because I think you're going to see some movements. I think we just stand pat. The Fair Board is responsible for who's out there. I would assume the Fair Board would use good judgment, even though it's we own the property. We've leased that to them until 2036 or something like that. And so they, whenever it is. And so they're responsible for that, even though we are responsible for law enforcement, they're responsible for that. And I don't see the Fair Board allowing that to occur. If it was an impromptu gathering, then you're talking just your regular law enforcement and you're disorderly and whatever happens. But I don't see it that occurring. I know people want to celebrate, they want freedom. As far as a mad rush to the fairgrounds to have an impromptu party, probably not.
Okay.
Jeff Blasey, for the county's orders and that they have established are not taken away by the governor's decision today.
Yeah, Steve Angerer, city attorney, that's my understanding. And so I know Rebecca Adamson, I believe is her name, has issued an order as our health, and I believe the county commissioners have adopted that. And so that would be the rule that we're going to operate under until we have further guidance, and I'd suggest we just do that.
General Bryan, in our current operations, do you comply with the county order?
This is my point earlier. We are under the county's authority now in, due to a lack of state order superseding that.
Yeah, and Steve Amor, city attorney, in about, 6 hours? Yeah, that's right.
Thank you.
Again, wait for tomorrow. It might change. It probably will.
Okay, moving on to item L. This would be for the Pritchett Advisory Committee members' application for the Pritchett grant.
A draft application is on your iPad. Johanna O'Brien, sorry. Last year we went for a slide and splash pad and we did not receive the grant. We think our app might have been a little too big, so Steve and I wrote it this year for just a slide. And as long as you guys approve it, I can go to Pittsburgh and just drop it off tomorrow. So this will be the 30th or 31st.
Jeff Blessed, 4-4, then that work would be done before parole opening next year. This would be an improvement for a grant requested this year, but understanding those modifications.
Yeah, they usually make the decisions in September-ish. So we turn it in now, and then we find out September or October. So it's one of those things that's impossible to budget for. It's the budget authority this year. You have to just get your budget done, but we'll figure it out.
Lucas Stansbury, second ward. Oh, sorry, Johanna. Was the splash pad for at the pool, or was that for another location?
Outside.
But at the same location?
Yes.
Okay. Is that still on the table for another, I mean, for later, or we just want to remove it for the slide? Okay. So I know someone mentioned about the Veterans Park, something there. I don't know if a splash pad would be something, but maybe something for kids around that area.
Two years ago was the fee that we wrote for Veterans Park and received a grant from Pritchett.
Mm-hmm.
So we wanted to switch it up and write for something else.
Is that the concrete? Is that the sidewalk?
Yeah.
Able? Okay. I didn't realize that. Sorry.
It's a competitive grant, and I know, I'm pretty sure they have investments, and then they just grant whatever interest they bear off of it every year, so it really depends every year on how well it did, how much money they give out. It's different every year, so, I mean, it's worth a shot. You really want to put in an application.
Jeff, off the 4-4, do you need a motion then? Or just,
yeah, a motion to approve the Pritchett grant application.
Mr. Mayor, I move. Luke Stansbury, second ward. Mr. Mayor, I move that we approve the Pritchett grant application.
Second. Sheldon Delia, first ward.
Okay, I've had a motion. I've had a second. Sheldon Delia.
Aye.
Lucas Stansbury.
Aye.
Bill Houston.
Aye.
Jeff Leslie.
Aye.
Motion carries. Okay, having no further business, we'll go on to governing body comments. Sheldon DeLange.
One thing I wanted, a couple things. Steve, or Sheldon Deline, First Ward, our self-propelled lawnmower, it is working.
The remote?
The remote.
Yes.
So it's just because things are wet. And
yes. Yep.
The other thing, Steve, I'd like to ask, you know, driving the streets in Girard, for instance, as long as Senate this afternoon, if we had some kind of mowing situation where a 6-foot bush hog or 5-foot bush hog just go along the edge of the road, we could trim up a lot of these roads, even when it's wet. You know, you can mow and drive along there. We don't have anything that's capable of doing that, do we?
Seabrook Public Works. So that's part of what the initiative is with the excavator that we're actually bidding out. It's the size of it is big enough that it can handle. The two pieces that you saw on that bid, I had inquired in the process of the bidding for a boom mower attachment that would actually be able to be supported by those excavators, because I know they make them. That 40-inch flail mower, I believe, would be ideal. That's the same size as the boom mower we had, so then we would be able to, if pending the financing and finding out where we're at with that, we would be able to attach that. We've looked at whether we could attach that particular implement to the existing Kubota that we have, and I just need them to sign off on telling me whether or not the size of it is big enough to support it. But I know for sure that the KX057 is, because I literally, one thing that I try to do when I look for equipment is I try to find things that we can cross-use and some versatility. So we definitely, you know, when we bought the remote, we knew that the remote was going to have its applications. We were in a situation budgetarily that we couldn't afford to go out and buy, you know, a $100,000 boom mower that we were looking at then. So we know we need to do something different. But yes, I would 100% agree if we, you know, if we could get a hold of something like that, it would be beneficial.
This really is not a boom mower as such. It's fastened to the side of the equipment. You can go along and like we can with a bush hog and mower.
Steve Rick's Hog Works. No, it actually attaches to where the bucket would be on the mini excavator.
Okay.
You would kick the bucket off, attach this attachment, and then you have full range. I actually have a little bit more versatility with it than what you would with a standard boom mower like you would have on a tractor. But you actually, with the mini excavators, if you've ever seen us work the one we have, you can spin that cab entirely 360 degrees. So your range of motion with that boom mower is completely different, and your visibility is much better than what it is with some of those side-mounted boom mowers.
The ditches at the grocery store are really bad, but it's been wet. And you know that.
Had a discussion with my street foreman today about that. I instructed them when I left for vacation last week that I wanted that remote mower running. And I spoke with him today, and he has been feverishly working. They have been flogged with culverts. And he made the decision, which I talked with him about today, but he made the decision to forego the mowing and work hard to get culverts done what he could. And so we spoke this morning in a meeting, and I told him that needs to be running. So we have a plan for that, and hopefully, weather permitting, if we can get some of this rain to hold off, I told him even if it's in the windows, we're going to have to do it.
One thing I appreciate, the work your man did on the culvert, you did a really good job. The other thing, I don't know whether council would be interested, I would like to, we have three, possibly more, dead trees out the cemetery. It's been there a long time. And we got three tree crews, in Girard, and I would like to, I know you're busy, there's a lot of things. Some of these limbs are falling on the graves. Maybe we could put them up for bids and put them out for bids and see if these guys have got the equipment to cut these limbs off. If the council would be so, I would like to see what it costs to take those trees down. Have Steve go out and mark them if the council so agrees. And some of them trees have been there a long time, and you guys are just swamped. I don't know how the council feels about that. I know there's three dead ones out there, and you picked up the limbs and they're falling. But I'd like to maybe just put them out for bids and see if we can get them cleaned up.
That's up to you guys. What you want me to do? I will say, and I wanted to make sure we gave the kudos. The guys worked really hard on that cemetery for Memorial Day. You saw it coming into Memorial Day.
They did.
I didn't know if they were going to make it because of the rain and the grass growth, but we deployed every up, and they did a phenomenal job. That cemetery probably looked better than it's looked in a long, long time.
They sure did a good job. They sure did. Anyway, I'd like to have the council consider that. Put it out for bids and see if we can get the dead trees taken down.
Hey, O'Brien, I can put that on the agenda for next time. Did you guys usually do that? Plus, or is it your guys?
I got a line item for tree removal.
Is that a big job that we need to sit out? Kind of? Yeah? No?
It'd be all right with me.
I'll discuss it with Cliff, and maybe we can put it on the next agenda or whatever. All right.
Some of it with those trees isn't necessarily that we're too busy or can't do it. Some of it, we usually will call our Clifford if we, because some of those are up high enough, we don't have the equipment necessary to get up to them, or Clifford's got buckets and they can come out. But we try not to disturb them any more than we had to, because we know they have work to do too. So.
Right, I
saw
him take down a tree in the front of City Hall. I'm like,
yeah.
It seemed like it was super quick. I looked outside and I was up behind him. It was a big one.
See what you can work out.
Okay.
That's all I have, Mr. Mayor.
Okay. Lucas?
Lucas Stansbury, 2nd Ward. Back to Steve. Steve, the rain won't quit. The drainage, how's that coming along as far as working to get it out towards the south of town?
Let's see where it's going to work. So right now we've gotten all the letters from Terry with all the property owners that we've got to contact. And like I said, I went on vacation starting last Monday. I needed it. Thank you for letting me do that. So my plan now is tomorrow I have a budget session that's set for the whole day. And so hopefully by Thursday I'll have the ability to start making some contact with some of those homeowners on the south end. In the meantime, what they've been doing, so like the highway in, Sheldon mentioned that was a much needed project, and they got it accomplished. And in the process of doing that, they also opened up some of those ditches, and they've been doing that as they've been working some of these culverts that they're installing. They're trying to get all the adjacent ditches each way to open up. The issues down on Logan that we talked about, that has been completely carved out, all new ditching through there, and that is draining much, much better than where we were at before. So we still have some issues with it, and I think on the west side of that road, there's still some issues, and we got to figure out which way we're going to fix that drainage. But Justin is, that's why I say he forewent the mowing, because he was trying to really get the water to drain away, and it's a focus for sure, and he knows that's his primary focus right now, is drainage. So we are working on it.
Okay. And I know, too, because the library, always been water. I used to live across there. There's always been water there, but it seems like it's gotten worse. I don't know if that's...
Yeah, Steve, we're supposed to work. So on our punch list for Bettis Asphalt, I asked them to address that when they come back. I spoke with Bill Delich about it, the representative for Bettis Asphalt. It looks like to me, so that has always held right there, if you're talking about the book drop or the disability pull-off. It has always pooled there a little bit, and I'm not really sure why. But just like they did with all the other streets in town, if it was cement, they went around it rather than tried to mill through it, because milling through it, they didn't charge us for the milling process. And it's a whole different process milling concrete than it is asphalt. You have to change the teeth out, or you run the risk of damaging the teeth. But it looks like what they did when they did the asphalt, typically when you do an overlay, you lay a little bit high and you count on where to bring it down. So right now it's a little high in front of that. It actually looks like it's created a cupping effect in front of that book drop, and so the water drainage is worse. Barb Bailey reached out to me about that, and I sent her, and I believe I sent to Johanna as well, that we had reached out to Bill Delich and explained to him exactly what's going on. I sent photos to him, and so it's on the punch list to be addressed when they come back through. So, and we, I don't know, am I allowed to say the extension thing? They asked for.
Okay.
So, in the conversation we had with Bettis Asphalt today, we discussed maybe doing extension on their project date from what it was to finalization, and that's because of some issues that we've had through the process of closing it out and giving them time also to come in on the punch list and finish things out. There are some areas of town where they ran off the sides of the road, one down on the cemetery on Carbon. There's several others, and so we put together a punch list for them, and that's the same punch list that they has for the library.
Okay. Also, this question was brought up to me and it was a good question because I didn't know how to answer it. Maybe you could help. Individuals that have their own ditches or maintain their own ditches where they're starting to get, I guess, just really marshy and it's hard to mow over time. I know there's some areas of concern. Is that something where dirt can be brought in on the homeowner's part, or will that mess up with the drainage that they want to raise them?
So I think that if they keep the drainage line at the bottom of the culvert, because the culvert really dictates the drainage flow, and in most cases that's going to be true unless you've got a driveway that's collapsing and that culvert has dropped. But in most cases, when those culverts were set, it was based on the flow pattern of that ditch to begin with. So as long as they don't alter the height of that ditch to the point that it holds water, then it won't hurt anything. The problem that you're going to have and the problem that we're facing as a city is, so these ditches right now have had water for a year and a half. I mean, we just can't get a break.
Mm-hmm.
And I think I could have sworn somebody told me we've already had 20-some inches.
Yes.
Yeah. And so I wish I could tell you there's a break in store, but it looks like it's not. For another 3 days, we're going to get it. As these ditches sit like that, they just continue to soften and soften and soften. So what we're trying to do in some of them is we're probably going to have to come in and put some type of erosion control into place, whether it be straw. If you come in right now with standard dirt, it's going to wash right out. If you come in with a clay base, you'd probably be a little better. But to get seed to root in that, it's not going to be as easy as it would be in a good soil. So it's a tough time with drainage, and that's a lot of the problem that we're having. These ditches are holding for that very reason.
And that's what I was going to ask. I feel like one of the individuals I talked to that had the concern said that I'm not sure because I didn't look at it myself, they have seen some cities actually, you know, try to raise it back up because they've actually got too much erosion in places and it's causing it to just sit and it just eats away at it. I think we've talked about that down by the school. That's actually happened there.
Yeah.
It's cutting so hard and so fast it keeps making it worse every time it rains, and so
a lot of the problem you have is just like down in the ditch line that comes through by G&W. So you have so much of this softening that it begins to silt and settle in, and then you have blockage, which is the same thing we have in the waterway that we were talking about in the last session in the south side. And so as that does that, the water's not going to stop, so it's going to carve its way through. And that's the same thing that you're going to have in these homeowner's ditches. Most of what I see in the homeowner ditches that we see the problems with, most of it is a growth in of the, basically from erosion of leaves and other organics that be turned to soil, and it ends up building past the culvert. And so I can probably tell you with certainty that about at least 75% of the time when we get called because of bad drainage, you will see that only about half of that culvert is exposed. And the other half of it's buried. It's not because the culvert sank. It's because the ditches, they grow in. And they literally grow in by the organics breaking down and turning to soil over the course of years. And some of them are probably homeowners that bought the homes that way.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and so I think what my approach with it is right now is we know we have some major drainage ways that need to get opened up. And I think this is something I told you in the last session. Once we get the major drainages opened up, then I would love to be able to come in and see if we can't start trying to go down through some residential areas and see if we can't assist with that. But right now, with the number of guys that I have to get the task done that we have to do, I need to focus first on the city's drainage ways and try to get them opened up so that once we open up the residentials, that we don't flood other areas of town because the main drainways are closed.
Sure.
And that's what we're fighting right now. So it's not that I don't have any regard for the residential, because I do. I have one just like it in my own yard that doesn't drain well, and I won't fix it either because it's not the most important concern. And the most important concern would be to get the city's drainways open up, and then we can start on the others.
But the citizens are concerned. Mow away from the ditch. Try to clean out any sediment or organics that are in there.
Yes.
And that could be leaves and stuff can be bagged up and still taken to the burn pile. Correct.
Absolutely.
Okay. Thanks. That's what I had on that, Steve. Mr. Mayor, Luke Stansbury, Second Ward. The other thing I had also was for Cliff. I was reading the intern for the electric department, and I think that's a great idea. Now, is that some of the things I read in there, though, it seemed like they were hands-on. Is that something through the community college, like they require, or?
They have to have
require that to graduate.
Okay, so this is more, they've already done a lot of the schooling, and now they're getting real life experience. So they would expect, it just seemed to me like some of it looked a little bit more dangerous than...
They won't touch any live
water, okay.
Water at all.
And that's, but it's something that college kind of, this is kind of what you've, so I remember whenever I was doing my senior project, you had to do real world experience, but you still weren't doing things that, and that was my only concern, because looking through that.
I will have them hook up somehow.
Okay. So I have Mr. Mayor.
Bill.
Bill Houston, third board. Along the lines of the internship, as I read, you decided not to have two or just one, or I know I'm going to be asked that question by somebody in my ward, so I need to be prepared to tell that individual what the thinking was behind that.
Every one of the second reason.
Yeah. That number, the budget is the biggest reason.
Yeah. So, Hannah, okay. Brian, we usually only have one. I think last year we only did it because we, I don't even know what happened last year, but we have extra funds.
Well, I know that question is going to come up probably within the next day or two, so I need to be prepared to tell that individual, why. Because it looks like on the onset that's a council decision, which it wasn't, it was department heads, and I appreciate that. But I know that man's going to ask me, what went into this thinking. The next point I had was, I don't know if the council needs to look at in future about hiring a part-time code enforcement, that's all they do is code enforcement. We're lacking in a lot of areas as far as automobiles sitting around, junk, just sitting in yards, and seems like we're not being active enough to clean it up. Some areas of town have less of a problem that way than other areas. My ward is particularly bad for having those properties that we're trying to condemn, trying to clean up. Got junk in the yard, junk on the porch, and I don't know if it's something at some point in time we need, because we may have the individual overloaded to do it. I don't know what the situation is, but it just seems like we're a little slow in getting some things done as far as cleaning these properties up and notifying people if they need to get the trash and the junk out of their yard. And, like I say, my idea, and I'm sure, other towns are bigger than us, they've got an individual. And if you're loading a guy down with a couple of jobs, you maybe are overloading. But that code enforcement, as far as I'm concerned, ought to be an individual. That's all they do. They inspect houses and wiring. They inspect properties. They inspect vehicles that look like they've been sitting in a yard for 2 years and never moved with grass growing up underneath them. That's just some food for thought, it's just...
Brian, we can consider that for the next budget while we're working on it.
Yeah, and I don't know what that type of thing, if you get an individual that's semi-retired or whatever, Yeah, but it's something, it's food for thought, and it seems to be a problem. I had an individual come by my house, and he says, how come I keep my property? And his property is pretty pristine. And right across the road from him on the corner, there is all kinds of crud parked around there, stacked around there. If you're sitting there with a property that you keep clean and the house looks nice, and you got a guy like that that's 150 foot away that doesn't care, what's that do to the value of your property? So, and he just stopped by and saw me about 2 or 3 days ago. And, But anyway, that's all I've got.
So, yeah, Brian, hopefully our work order system will help with that, too.
Mr. Mayor, if I can, Lucas Stansbury, Second Ward. Bill, before you were elected, the city had done a was it five 10-year study? Or not study, but yeah,
our,
five.
Our plan,
yeah, 5-year strategic plan, and from that there was a emphasis on code enforcement, and but we just kind of had, we didn't follow through. So I've asked Johanna, and I think you'd probably be in a favor. We can look at that again on that plan and at the outcome, or at least what the outcome was going to be, and talk about that now with this new council.
Yeah.
So,
Jeff?
Jeff Lustig, 4th Ward. I'd like to commend the administrative work being done towards the organization and underlying accountability for our city departments. I think that's the key to the delivery of city services. And, you know, I think that's admirable, and I'd like to see that continued. And Clifford has his swing at doing that, and just help, you know, all your departments. I've experienced that in the past, and not just chain of command for the sake of command. It's the assignment of account of responsibility, really, and follow through, and I commend that work highly. I think it'll be having a continue to have a noticeable impact on for the betterment of our town and delivery services. Second thing, just following along on the codes enforcement, I've got a couple of properties I'd like to mention to you and get on the work order or directly to Terry, so just let me know how I need to do that. And then I look forward to, we've spoken of an update, continuing rolling up, update of the rolling list, and would it be possible to get that next council meeting where we are on the properties that have already been identified, and then have an opportunity to add to that list some additional properties?
Yeah.
Thank you very much. That's it, Mr. Mayor.
Okay. Okay, all I have is this. I'd like to commend the council for their participation and information on issues that we need to direct and stuff. And I still want to, as I have in the past, praise the city workers for what they're doing and continue to deal with our coronavirus issues, and that's about all I have. And thank you,
Mr. Chairman. I move we adjourn. Sheldon DeLange, 1st Ward.
Jeff Lustig, 2nd.
Lucas Stansberry.
Aye.
Jeff. Sheldon DeLange.
Aye.
Bill Houston.
Aye.
Jeff Leslie.
Aye.
Motion carries to adjourn. Thank you.